Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Mike Murphy joins us now, Chief of Staff for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Talk about the national debt and deficit. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. Let's talk about the difference between debt and deficit, if we can.
Sure. So deficit is the annual difference between spending and revenues that the government takes in. And the debt is essentially an accumulation of all those past deficits. Our deficit for the last fiscal year, the federal government's fiscal year runs from September to September each year. And last fiscal year, the deficit was approaching almost $2 trillion, a little less than that. And we have a debt that is approaching, as a percentage of our economy, our debt is approaching the near highest levels we've ever had. We had the highest debt levels as a percentage of our economy right around World War II. And we are fast approaching that, and we'll surpass that within about 3 years. So that's the essential difference between deficits and debt. And no matter how you look at it, Tommy, we're at a pretty perilous situation right now.
You know, you and I have these discussions occasionally, and you know, I was looking at the usdebtclock.org that you can go to if you like and watch the numbers rapidly accumulate. It's at 38 trillion now, I guess, 514 billion. These numbers are just beyond my comprehension. But if I were to have taken a snapshot of that, you know, I take a screenshot of my weight every now and then just to have a reminder of it. If I were to have taken a shot of this debt clock last year at this time, do you know where it would have been?
I mean, it probably would have been about $2 trillion less.
About 36.
That's the clip. Yeah, that's the clip at which we're rising at incredibly fast.
So let's talk about percentage of that to the gross domestic product and why that's so important and why people need to really start paying attention to this and what could happen if they don't.
Yeah, so economists, when they tend to look at our overall debt levels, they do look at a metric called our public debt as a percentage of our economy, of our total GDP. There's several reasons why they do that, but in basic terms, one of the primary reasons is it gives you a sense of a measure of your debt relative to some kind of measure of how much you can service it, right? So your economy is your underlying ability to service that debt. It's kind of similar to how when people evaluate whether someone's going to take out a mortgage, they look at your outstanding debt as a percentage of your income. And you can also measure it over time as a ratio. And so that's why people look at our debt as a percentage of our economy. And as I said before, you can measure it over time. It's the highest it's ever been, absent World War II. The big difference is, however, in World War II, we knew what we were borrowing for. We were borrowing to defend the free world, and it was expected to, and it did come down in the years and decades after World War II. Right now, we're not borrowing to defend the free world. We're borrowing for our own consumption. 87% of our built-in spending growth at the federal level, Tommy, is due to three things. It's due to healthcare spending, and it's due to Social Security, and it's due to interest costs on the national debt. The more debt we have, the interest is the fastest growing portion of our budget. We spend more annually on interest payments now than we do on defense. So that's the situation we're in. It's obviously unsustainable for many reasons, and we need policymakers to quickly turn attention to this in the new year.
You know, this is not going to happen. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I wish it would happen, but I don't think it's going to. We can discuss when we return. Mike Murphy, our guest, Chief of Staff for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. We hear so much about, you know, they're spending. No, it's not us, it's them. And they either way, they keep running up the deficit is what they keep doing, or the debt is what they keep doing, and the interest alone is running up the debt. We'll pick it up when we come back. Any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. At some point, I think there's going to be a tipping point, and when we reach it, if we've not yet already reached it, I don't think it's going to be pretty at all. Traffic now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Mike Murphy, Chief of Staff for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Mike, somebody texted in and said, the truth of the matter is, and I guess they're going full Scrooge on this, we should only be spending on defense and other essentials for the government. I know that's harsh, but it is reality. What would that look like if this person were to get their wish and the government were to only spend money on defense and the other, however they're deeming essentials? And again, that's where you get into the politics of my essential is not necessarily yours. But what would that look like to the economy, and how important is government spending to the economy?
Well, you're hitting on the exactly right question, Tommy. It's what one deems essential in the framing of that question. I think that let's put it this way. You know, if you, I think defense spending right now is somewhere, I would say, about, oh, it's about 15-16% of the overall federal budget. Might actually be a little bit higher than that. So if you want just defense, you could do the math on the size cut that would require at the federal level. And then it's all a question of what other ones deem essential. I think that I steal a phrase that someone else said one time, that essentially what the federal government is these days, when you look at it, is it's a military with an insurance company. Because essentially what the rest of government is largely healthcare spending, as I said earlier, and also funding people in retirement. That's social insurance, it's Social Security. You know, those programs, you take defense plus those plus interest, you're already upwards at about, you know, you're at essentially like 85%+ of the budget. The rest of what everyone tends to think of as some things with government at the federal level is federal education spending, transportation, research and development, other homeland security, et cetera. It makes up a small portion of the budget. The bottom line is, you know, you get what you are willing to pay for, right? And right now, the citizens are demanding, frankly, and wanting more services than they're willing to pay for, because we're not bringing in enough to fund that level of government. And obviously, we don't have politicians at the federal level that are willing to have hard conversations about what spending programs we need to rein in to get us on a better track.
And I don't know how they ever will, because the House comes up every 2 years for reelection. It's all about the R or the D, who's going to win, red or blue, right? So while they might complain about the debt, I don't see any resolution coming up anytime soon. Do you really? Do you see the leadership that where somebody's going to say, guys, look, this is going to hurt. This sucks.
I have to be an optimist, Tommy. This year, the election, those elected to the Senate will be in office when Social Security goes insolvent. They can no longer avoid this.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that can flip some of the election incentives. When you're facing it in your next term, you can't avoid it. And voters need to demand, what are you going to do to deal with these things?
I hope you're right, Mike. I really do. I hope you have a great holiday season, you and your family.
You too, Tommy. Thank you, sir.
All right, Mike Murphy, Chief of Staff for the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. You can text me at 504-260-1870. Do you see any leadership in Washington? Do you think anybody really is going to say, y'all is going to suck, but we got to get this debt under control, so we're going to cut this, cut. You see that coming? I don't. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Well, Dave, the texts are just pouring in.
Flowing in.
You know, we have our little survey going here every day I don't want to overhype it or anything like that, but it's it's the morning survey where we take into the texts to see what's on the pulse and what's on the minds of the audience. And since, as boy, by the way, if y'all missed the critically acclaimed and highly rated early edition of WWL First News with Dave Cohen, you missed it because he was talking about. Did you hear it or not?
I did hear it. Yes, every word of it.
He was talking about Festivus and grievances and so forth. So we figured, well, since it's grievances and Festivus, why don't we make it our taking into the text survey and ask you what is it, not one thing at all, but what are some of the things that really irritate you?
What are your grievances?
So grievances, exactly. Somebody texts in and says, is this Michael Jackson?
It is. Jackson 5, actually.
Yeah, Jackson 5. See, again, and I mention this every year, if you know anything about Joe Jackson.
No. Let's not go there.
I'm just saying.
Well, if you're going to air grievances, maybe you should go there.
If he had seen Mommy kissing Santa Claus, it wouldn't have been funny at all. It would have probably been a bloodbath, but we don't need to go there.
Well,
all right, so
he was Joe. But anyway, yeah. Keep going.
All right. People not turning right on red after stop.
Wait. What's wrong with that? Oh, not turning.
Not turning, yeah.
Just sitting
when you
there.
Call customer support and it's all automated, how many times have you screamed representative at the phone and gotten nowhere?
Operator!
Right?
Representative!
Operator, representative. You press it over and over and over and over again.
Human!
Raise trucks with blinding LED lights.
But
let me tell you something, and with all due respect to the men and women that serve in law enforcement, boy, sometimes these lights that they have on, you can't see who's out on the road or not. So it's like the light on back of the vehicle or whatever it is that's blinding you as you approach, and you can't see who's there.
I'm with this person. The SUVs and the pickup trucks that have these super bright LEDs that are not their bright lights, that they're not brights, are still so bright that it is often literally painful to the eyes when they're behind you.
And then somebody else texted in and said, spitting for no reason.
Just spitting.
Yeah. How many times have you seen that on TV where you see the coaches, I don't know if they're enjoying a substance or not, but they're just like spitting for the sake of spitting.
That's something that's always kind of been funny to me. In the Superdome, which is not outside, and there's turf, not grass, people just spitting on this, essentially the rug.
Yeah.
It's like spitting in someone's living room to me.
Yeah.
Just spitting on the...
Well, there you go. It's one of Dave's grievances. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about the budget here on WWL. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Alex Narasta, Vice President for Economic and Social Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Good morning, Alex. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, good morning. Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about what happened with DOGE, because it seems like just yesterday DOGE was going to cut all government waste and eliminate government spending. First, it was going to be $2 trillion in waste, fraud, and abuse. Then they reduced it to $1 trillion. Then it was $150 billion, which is still a lot of money. But tell me, what is the end result of DOGE? What did we see as a result of all of that?
So when we take a look at budgets and spending, which, as you said, was DOGE's primary target, what happened over the course of the last year, is that spending actually went up by about $248 billion. So rather than cut anything, DOGE presided over a government that kept on expanding, just like it has expanded in previous years, just like it's expanded over the last several decades, and it was substantially higher by about $248 billion over 2024.
So
DOGE, I think it's fair to say, it didn't succeed on that front.
So they fired people, but they just shifted it and spent the money somewhere else? Is that accurate?
That's one way to look at it. The thing is, they ended up firing about 271,000 people, 9% of the federal workforce, which is a large number. It's a huge percentage. It's the fastest pace of firing workers in the federal government since the end of the Korean War when we demobilized. But the thing is, almost everything the government spends is not on wages and salaries. Most of what the government spends is transfers, taking, you know, Social Security taxes, giving it to retirees, it's transferring Medicare, and that just doesn't take a lot of employees. So when you take a look at it, bottom line, what you're talking about is federal employees, their wages and compensation, it's about 10% or less of all federal spending. So you could fire the entire federal government, and it would only lower federal spending by about $600 to $700 billion.
Not to parse dollars, but does that include military spending or not? Are you firing the military with that as well?
No, these firings don't include the military.
No, but I'm just saying in the example that you gave just now, the 10%.
Yes.
So it would include the military.
Yeah, it would include their salaries and pay. Of course, most of what the military spends its money on is not salaries and payment either, although it is larger for the military than it is for other agencies.
So were we sold a bill of goods with DOGE? Was it all style and no substance?
Well, I think they tried. You know, I think they tried. I just think it was a much bigger and harder job than people like Elon Musk realized going in. The government was, you know, this spending is on autopilot. Congress has to change the laws to adjust the size of government. Congress really didn't change any laws to reduce the size of government in 2025. So there's only so much the president can do. There's only so much DOGE can do. But they definitely overpromised and underdelivered.
This is going to be, if anybody does anything about this, this is going to be the House of Representatives, correct?
Well, they were in effect. Yeah, I mean, most budget bills begin there because they also affect taxes. And tax bills have to begin in the House. So that's where it would start, and then the Senate would have to approve it. Of course, you know, the biggest aspects of federal spending are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest in the national debt, and then the Department of Defense. So you're going to have to cut a lot of very popular programs if you want to make a dent at all in federal spending and reduce the deficit.
And the reason I bring that up is because of the structure of government. House of Representatives up for re-election every 2 years, so they just get finished with one election, and immediately they start campaigning again, right? So I just wonder, considering the way it's set up, and it would have to start in the House, although the Senate can encourage it, that's going to take some leadership. And I just can't imagine, in my mind of minds, Alex, a representative getting, we're going to have to take a break here for traffic, and then we'll pick it up when we come back. But a newly minted representative or somebody that gets reelected that's been there for a long, long time, and the first thing they say is, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut Social Security, we're going to cut Medicare, and we're going to cut Medicaid. Maybe not so much if it's a red state, Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security. But, well, actually, yeah, Social Security, definitely, and Medicare. We'll pick it up when we come back. Alex Narasta, It's a Mess, Vice President for Economic and Social Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. He's not a mess, but the federal spending is just out of control. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Alec Narasta, Vice President for Economic and Social Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. We're talking about DOGE cuts, federal spending, and what they maybe tried to accomplish but didn't. Started at $2 trillion, went down to $1 trillion, then went to $1.5 billion. My hypothesis before, I guess, if you will, my theory before about the House of Representatives and the way the government is structured, and any serious reform would have to start in the House, although, you know, the Senate would ultimately have to approve it. But because of the 2-year terms and the fierce battle over red and blue, I don't see the leadership coming from anywhere to address this. Am I being overly pessimistic, Alex?
I don't think you're too pessimistic, but what really needs to happen is, you know, the voters just have to want it. And the voters have not been given, I think, this stark choice yet. And frankly, they're not at the point where they have to choose yet. The government is still able to borrow at a decent interest rate. They can run $2 trillion deficits. it has an economic effect, but it's not devastating. It's not the worst possible scenario. So until those things happen, until there's a crisis, I think we're going to see this government spending largely on autopilot.
So what happens when it hits the fan?
So a number of things that happen when it hits the fan. The federal government is estimating that Social Security will become insolvent in the early 2030s. What will happen then is that Congress will shove money into the program to keep it afloat, to make sure that benefits don't decline. But what really matters is when the government can't borrow anymore to cover its obligations. If it can't borrow anymore, if the bond market will not lend money to the federal government, then in a very short amount of time, it's going to have to cut trillions of dollars, or it's going to have to print money to cover the difference. Either way, we're going to be in a heap of trouble.
Give me a year on that.
If I knew when it was going to happen, I would make billions of dollars shorting the market.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Have a Merry Christmas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.